Good morning and welcome. Welcome in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's Passion Sunday, this Sunday, and we really are approaching the extraordinary story of Jesus's Last Supper, his Passion on Good Friday and then Easter. And there is something of excitement about that building as well, as a sense of something huge to be got through. Our Stations of the Cross have gone up in our churchyards, and I would ask you to pray that they may be an occasion or a prompt for people to be aware of God's presence in their lives, that there may be a resonance between something of our Lord's story and their own lives. We ask for blessings on that outreach. I have some notices for you about the services in Holy Week, a little bit ahead of ourselves, and I have them written down for us. So on Maundy Thursday at Smalley, there will be a communion service at 5:30 and then at Bredsall at 7:30 in the evening. On Good Friday, we are going to share some hours at the foot of the cross. We will start at Morley at 12 noon, and then we will move to Smalley at 1 o'clock, and then Bredsall at 2, at the foot of the cross. And then we're going to do something rather special on Easter morning. We're going to get up very, very early and have a dawn service to welcome the light of the resurrection. It's a beautiful service. And what we're hoping to do this Easter is to tie together the liturgy, the prayers, what we do at Easter. We're going to try and tie all three churches together. So we're going to begin by breaking our bread at the dawn service, and then Geoffrey and I will be taking that and bringing the light from the Easter fire to Morley and Smalley. So the Easter service begins, the dawn service begins in Bredsall Churchyard at 5:55, 5 to 6 in the morning, 6 o'clock is daybreak. And those of you who are feeling a little frail about that, I want to remind you that you do stay up for midnight to welcome the incarnation at Christmas. So this is an opportunity to get up early in the morning and be excited for the resurrection. It's a very beautiful thing. So that is the first thing that will be happening on Easter Day. And then each church will have a 10:30 service where there will be a sharing of the bread consecrated earlier, and also renewal of baptismal vows and just a great shout of praise that our Lord is risen. But we are ahead of ourselves. I am ahead of myself. It is still Lent and we have Passion Tide ahead of us. In the end, all of this, all the seasons of the church's year, all the story of Christ is leading us forward into the kingdom of God. And let us sing now about that kingdom.
Jesus, we love.
Lent is something of an inward time, a time when we look at our own souls with God. And of course, lockdown has been a bit of an inward time also, hasn't it? A snuggling in, perhaps. Certainly much less going out. And I think that coming out of lockdown may have some difficulties for us. I think that picking up again relationships and tasks and normal activities slowly over the next few months may well, and in fact I have seen it, be causing some anxiety. I think that there's a level of tearfulness or stress around, and I do ask you to be gentle with yourselves and with one another. One of the things I think we can do to help us, though, is to think about the kingdom of God, to think beyond ourselves and our immediate lives, to think more widely, to think really what the kingdom of God is about for the world, what it will mean, what it does mean when it is at hand for those who actually are far less fortunate than ourselves. Now, we weren't going to have another video for a while, but we were approached by Tear Fund and by a lovely person called Jenny Shaw, who said would we like them to do a video sermon for us. And you know me, I was thankful and thought that would be excellent. They are a charity that one of our churches at the very least supports. So Jenny will be talking to us in a little bit. And they asked us for particular readings. This is the first, The Good Samaritan.
Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbour as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest who was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by the other side. So likewise, a Levite, who came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while travelling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise."
Thank you.
Jenny also asked us to read something from the book of Ruth. You will remember the story. Naomi, a widow, has lost also both her sons, and she has no means of support. So she and her daughter-in-laws set out together. One of them leaves to return to her own people, and Ruth, the second one, says she doesn't want to leave Naomi. She will travel with her. Famously, I'll just read her words at that point. "Do not press me," Ruth said, "to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God." She really is a wonderfully loyal person. And so they travel together. Vulnerable two women then. It's an old, old book. Not much protection for women at that time. And they arrive near Bethlehem, I understand. And they don't have any means of support there. And so Ruth asks Naomi, "Shall I go and glean in the fields?" And Naomi says, "Yes, do that." And Sheila is going to pick up the story now.
A reading from the Book of Ruth, chapter 2, starting to read at verse 3. "So she went. She came and gleaned in the field behind the reapers. As it happened, she came to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz came from Bethlehem. He said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' They answered, 'The Lord bless you.' Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, 'To whom does this young woman belong?' The servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, 'She is the Moabite who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab.' She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the reapers.' So she came, and she has been on her feet from early this morning until now, without resting even for a moment." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Keep your eyes on the field that is being reaped and follow behind them. I have ordered the young men not to bother you. If you get thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
May I speak in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. It's so lovely to have the chance to talk to you today. My name's Jenny Shaw, and I'm a volunteer speaker for Tear Fund. I'm speaking today from my home just outside of Chepstow. So welcome to my spare room. And I've been on your website and I've seen some of your lockdown pictures as well. So I'm picturing you all in your homes too while you listen. And I don't know about you, but I am really looking forward to getting out a bit more over the next few months. But I do recognise as well what a refuge my home has been to me over the last year. So I want to talk to you today about what happens when home is taken away and to tell you about a woman called Tamar. So I think we're sadly all too familiar with the conflict in the Middle East and especially in Syria and Lebanon. Thousands of people, families displaced by war, innocent victims of a man-made disaster. And Tamam's story is quite a mirror of Ruth and Naomi's story. She's a mother. She described pre-war life in Aleppo as the time when she didn't have to worry, a time that was full of sunlight and clear water. So before ISIS came to her village, she and her husband had a good life. They reared goats, they grew fruit and vegetables, they had an olive grove, great life. But when ISIS came, they restricted the water supply and the electricity supply. So first of all, her crops failed, and then her goats died one by one, and then her olive harvest, just rotted on the ground because she didn't have the means to press it. So that good life that she had just became more and more difficult and desperate for them. And then within a short space of time, one of her children died, and her husband also died in an accident. So she was left with her remaining children in the very middle of the fighting. It was going on all around her, affecting her and her children. So she knew she had to get away to keep her family safe. So she picked up a bag, she grabbed whatever she could, clothes, food, and she took her identity papers and just a few photos and just put them in her clothing for safekeeping. And with her children, she fled. Have a look around you right now. If you had to flee your home today, what would you take? And what would you have to leave behind? Just like Ruth and Naomi, Tamar had lost her security and her livelihood, her home and her husband. Tearfund's call is to follow Jesus where the need is greatest. And that's because we believe that Jesus is already there with Tamar's family. He's just waiting for us to catch up. Tearfund was born over 50 years ago in response to the famine and the suffering in Africa. And God gave us the eyes to see that injustice and that suffering, and the means to meet it as well through the generosity of Christian people like you. Tearfund was really born from an outpouring of generosity. And it's now one of the leading Christian relief and development agencies in the UK. And just in the last 10 years, we've reached 48 million people with our work. So today, when we watch the just heartbreaking footage on the TV of children being pulled out of the rubble of their homes in the Middle East, we can hear God's call from Luke 10 to love our neighbour as ourselves. And the gospel reading, the Good Samaritan, it just reminds us we can't just walk by and ignore the plight of those in need. God calls for us to respond. So today I'm hoping to give you an easy way to do that. Tamar's life has been hard since she left her home in her country, but she has found help and support through a local Tearfund partner, the Tahadi Centre. And you might know already that Tearfund works through local partners like this. They're usually churches or Christian organisations, because they're the ones who know the people, they know the culture, and they know how to rebuild lives sustainably for the long term, not just give a handout. So through the Tahadi Centre, Tamam and her family they've received healthcare. Her children have been supported to get through the trauma of living so long in a war zone. And Tamam is learning to be a seamstress so that she can support her family, and she wants to teach her children to support themselves as well as they get to adulthood.
It's hard to explain the meaning of home. It's the feeling of having all my family and holding them dear in my heart. All that's left in this photo is me. Everything else is gone. My husband, my child, garden, and home. I miss them. I miss my home. Because of the warfare and the living conditions, we decided it was better to leave. We had fighting on both sides and we were in the middle. At 3 a.m., my children and I left our home. We fled, keeping as quiet as we could. I could only bring our photos and IDs, which I hid in my clothing. It was a terrifying ordeal for the children. The dead bodies and fighting scared them. We came across that everywhere we went.
Tearfund is reaching out to the most vulnerable refugees in Lebanon in order to overcome the trauma which they have experienced, both when they were fleeing from Syria and also when they are now living in a very tough condition. As a Christian organization, Tearfund works with all those who are in need, regardless of religion. which often are being done through our partners, Christian organizations and churches. And this by itself is a great testimony for anybody who are witnesses the action of Tearfund.
We experience difficulties. The water here is salty and scarce. Everything is different in Syria. Our houses were better. I miss my house, my land, and my garden. Sometimes I cry a lot.
The needs in Syria and Lebanon are so great today, but it is a privilege for Tearfund to work with the partners on the ground. Tahari is helping women like Taman in an area where 75% live in extreme poverty. And Tahari is a home for many of the families who are living in this area. Here, they can get help with education to their children. They have a health center. They have psychologists, social workers, helping those who have been traumatized. One thing more, it is skill training. As Taman, she is learning to saw, so she can earn some money and later on, hopefully, she can go back to Syria and she can use the skills she have learned at Tahari Center.
The Tahari Center helped me stand on my feet. Being a seamstress, I am the breadwinner. My four children go to school here. I hope for a happy future for my children and never experience what I experienced. I hope to teach my children to sew, to open a small sewing business in Syria and have a better life than the one I had. I wish that Syria would be safe again. I wish for that every waking second, and that we'd go back home and have peace.
We heard the story of Ruth and Naomi. They must have felt so vulnerable and afraid. So you can imagine how relieved they were, how joyful to meet Boaz. Boaz was a hard-working farmer. He worked all year round to get himself a crop for the harvest. But he left the gleanings behind in the field. Why would he do that? Well, we heard he was a man of standing. He was a devout man. He was following what was set out for him in the scriptures in Leviticus chapter 23. God commanded that the gleanings of the harvest should be left in the field. Why? Because God wanted harvest to be for everyone, for people without a home, people who are desperate, foreigners like Ruth or like Tamar. So we thank God for the work of the Tahari Centre, offering that same kind of benefit to the poor and the vulnerable and the foreigner in Jesus' name. Now, I want to thank you for the support that this church has already shown to Tearfund, and I'm sure we'll continue to do so. If you've been personally moved by Tamam's story, I would like to invite you to consider regular giving. It's just the gleanings from our fields. It doesn't have to be a lot, but it makes such a difference. You could support a family like Tamam's for just £7 a month, and then, of course, £14 a month would support two families. So it's just a bit less than £3.50 a week to transform all those lives forever. So we're not together in the same room, so I can't give out the little cards that I would normally give out. So what I would encourage you to do instead is to go to Tearfund's website. So if you go to tearfund.org/tamam, that's T-A-M-A-M, you can find out more about her. You can see pictures of her and her children and where she lives now. And then if you wish to, you can set up giving there. Or you could just simply go to tearfund.org/giving. It's your opportunity to see how those gleanings from your field, just the leftovers, can be multiplied by God to do his work. So let us pray. Lord, we bring to mind everything that Tamam has gone through, seeing her home and family life destroyed and forced to flee her own country to live in a foreign land. Help us to stand alongside families who have lost almost everything through conflict and displacement. Help us to share your compassion with people in the greatest need who feel broken and abandoned. Father God, help us not to look away. Forgive us when we do. Show us how we can respond to situations like Tamam's that can seem overwhelming. We pray that all families fleeing their homes will find a place of welcome and safety. Help us to play our part in restoring a sense of home. Amen.
Thank you so much to Jenny, and indeed thank you so much to Tear Fund for all that they do. There will be details on our website for explaining how you can donate also. We must pray for Tear Fund and indeed for all charities that work on the front line. There wasn't a confession earlier in our service. Instead, I have chosen a piece of music called The Devil's War and God's Own Blue Sea. It was the first track on an album that was put together by various artists, actually, to raise money when we first heard about the asylum seekers, the refugees, travelling and drowning in the Mediterranean. Of course, they still drown today, as they do in our own channel. So I wasn't able to find the lyrics online as I normally do. So instead of a confession, I would just ask you to sit with God and listen as best you can. And then Pat will lead us into prayer.
We fled our homes from flames of war. You rained down on our shores. I knew you'd sooner let us drown than open up your door. For a life is only worth the dirt upon which it is born. And the dirt beneath a migrant's feet is worth the least of all. As hell broke loose around our heads and gunfire filled the air, we crowded on a death trap ship, and to our end we fared. For that's the price we have to pay for trying to be free. Caught in between the devil's war and God's own deep blue sea. From the podium of modern comes countless tragedy. Though some they brand as worth your tears, alas, that was not me. For we must breach the lanes that stretch across each foreign heart. Though blood and tears will fall the same, 1,000 miles apart.
Let us pray. God of hope, God of Lent, show us what it is to follow you to the cross, to follow you to the tomb. Today, on this Passion Sunday, as you take up your cross, give us courage to follow in the loneliest times, beneath the darkest shadows, through the most terrifying of circumstances, you have gone before us. Show us what it means to carry our cross, to live a life of sacrifice. An act of selflessness beckons us, but we shun it because it is too hard. Give us your readiness to act. A desire to give others something of ourselves seems like the right thing to do, but we haven't the stomach for it. Give us your passion to serve. A letter is waiting to be written, but we would rather watch television. Give us your loving care. A difficult conversation awaits us, but we know we must face it. Give us your courage. An offence has wounded us deeply and made us bitter. Give us your grace to forgive. A particular sin has gripped us, but we dare not talk to anyone about us. Give us your resolve. A change in our habits we think might be important, but we put it off until tomorrow. Give us your will. Give us the courage to take up our cross and follow you, to live a life of selfless love, that the world might know that we are your disciples. May the oppression, the injustice, the violence and the greed that crushes so many in this world be defeated today by the cross of Christ. Give us the strength to carry that cross. Hear our prayer, good Lord. Lord, help us to love you in all that we do, that our characters might grow in Christlessness. We thank you that you are the God who blesses people with whom we disagree, who welcomes those we would exclude, but loves those we do not. And so we pray that our characters might come to reflect yours more faithfully. When we are happy to judge and dislike and hate others simply on the basis of gossip or ignorance or laziness, forgive us. May we become people who offer practical and political love in a way that it is not calculating. When we have immunised ourselves to the distress of others, simply because our society has taught us to disguise our distress, and social conventions require that we conceal our weaknesses, give us discernment and courage and capacity to listen well. When we cross the metaphorical road to avoid doing the right thing because we are afraid of the consequences, cause us to question our commitment to others and to you. Give us the courage to face up to the realities of our own cowardice. Help us to see you as you really are, and to see others as they really are. Help us to hear you more clearly, that we might instinctively hear your voice in unexpected places. Help us to worship you more faithfully, that we might love more fully. To the glory of your name. We ask you, dear Lord, in Jesus' name, to accept these, our humble prayers.
To think about the kingdom of God, time to think what role we might play in it. And it's a bit daunting, isn't it? We might feel we're a little bit old to be welcoming refugees out there in various camps. We might think we actually don't have a huge amount of money, and Kate has already told us firmly where it's to be given anyway, so there's not much left. We might think that we're tired and got a lot on with our neighbours. But I believe that if we ask God, he will show us what we can do to help. I do believe that. When we allow ourselves to be moved by the Spirit for the plight of those without homes, those who have so little, when we allow ourselves to be moved by the Spirit will show us little things, big things, will show us what we can do to help. We can put it to God and we can pray. I read a wonderful quote this week and I can't find where it was, but it said that when we clasp our hands together, we take the first act of determination against the chaos of the world. We can pray that that be a beginning. We're about to sing a great hymn that you'll know and love, and let it lift you, let you know yourselves to be a part of God's work in the world. But first, God's blessing. May God grant you love and compassion, mercy, wisdom and grace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be upon you and all those for whom you pray, now and always. Amen. Have a holy and blessed Passion Tide. Amen.